A very good morning to you and welcome to this Sunday's Listen and Pray. My name is David Crouch and I'm one of the licensed lay ministers at St Andrews. Today is a very special Sunday because it is the first Sunday we welcome our curate Patrick as an ordained minister. Patrick was ordained at Holy Trinity in Claygate yesterday. So congratulations, Patrick, and again, welcome. Please do check your notice sheets for the upcoming events in the church and things that you may pray for, especially the diocesan initiative, Transforming Generosity. Please check out what that involves and whether you might sign up to it. And I've been asked to remind you all, Rowena has asked me to remind you all to wrap up well. It may be a bit late for you if you're already in church at the moment, but she reminds me that it's necessary to keep the doors open and the passageway is clear. So you may need to wrap up well. Now, this morning, Francis is going to lead our thoughts in growing in faith, an integral part of our church's vision. So in order to prepare for that, I will read to you, firstly, a passage from Romans. It's actually Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 25. And I'll pause for a bit in case you want to follow it in your own Bibles. Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 25. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, the words "it was reckoned to him" were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now for our second reading, we turn back to Luke's Gospel. And the reading from Luke is from chapter 8, verses 5 to 15. Luke chapter 8, verses 5 to 15. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." This is Jesus calling out. Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patient endurance. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And now Francis is going to lead our thoughts in growing in faith. Thank you, Francis.
Let's pray together before I speak on growing in faith. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. For we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I wonder what you would like at the end of your life to be known for. One of the easiest ways to check out what was important in someone's life is to look at an epitaph, what was written about them on the gravestone. And I'm sure you will know that Spike Milligan's is rather humorous, unsurprisingly. And in Irish, as part of what's on his gravestone, it says this: "I told you I was ill." Abram, or Abraham as he becomes known, mentioned here in Romans chapter 4, which we've had read, is known as the father of faith. What an amazing phrase to describe someone, the father of faith. He is a pivotal person in so many different ways, but what I want to do today is to show that actually what God does in his life, God wants also to do in your life and mine. He is not without flaws. He is not without challenges. So let's look at what Paul in Romans 4 writes about growing in faith. A friend of ours is an evangelist, a very gentle evangelist. And one of his favourite intros with people is to say, Are you a person of faith? And people often have things to say like, "Well, yeah, I have faith in my health. I believe I'm going to wake up every day. My health is pretty good." Or, "I have faith in my money or my family or even just gravity." We all need faith, don't we? But what do we have faith in? Paul is writing here to these new Christians, a mixture of Jews and Gentile Christians, trying to enable them to realize that what really matters in terms of faith is not following the law, not earning righteousness, but actually coming to a moment where we accept God as our Lord, turning our lives to Him, making that first, if you like, step of faith. So, I wonder as you look at your life now, whether you're able to look back and say, yes, that was the moment when I took the first step of faith. And I can say that I accepted God's love for me by faith and my need of forgiveness, which the death of Jesus Christ on the cross has brought me, and also by faith, His resurrection to eternal life, which I can now share with Him. I do hope and pray that most of you are able to say that you've taken that initial step of faith. But the trouble is, with all of us, and I'm sorry to say it's not been helped by church teaching from leaders over the centuries, we've often thought that that was all that it was. Making that initial step of faith was all that it was. But our diocese, the Diocese of Guildford, with its transforming life, transforming church vision, which we have followed and came up with as part of our vision too in 2018, realised that actually it's growing in faith that we all need to continue to do. So let's just check first that we've got that first step taken, that step of faith. We can never earn our way back to God. And that is the point that Paul writes here. He uses Abraham as an example in these first four verses. Verse 3, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he goes on in verse 5, to one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. So Paul is at pains to point out it's nothing Abraham has done that makes him the father of faith. It's God's grace. And that's where we all should begin. And I do hope that if you have begun that journey of faith, that you can praise the Lord for that. But it doesn't stop there. Faith is tested and faith should grow over time, sometimes in a very gradual way and sometimes by real step changes. And we're introduced to those in Abraham's life. If we go back to Genesis chapter 12, to his story, the first thing God says is recorded as saying to Abraham is, I want you to leave where you live and go to here. And the shortest obedient sentence of the Bible is, so Abraham went, in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 12. It's not magic. This man, Abraham, had to make a decision. Did he trust? Did he have faith in this God who is asking him to do this at the grand age of 75? At our time when perhaps in many of our lives we hope we might not need to respond in obedience to more and grow in faith anymore. But actually that's not the way God works. Abraham goes. And he goes despite not having scriptures written down, not having the life of Jesus with the signs and the miracles that he gave. He goes. But that doesn't mean everything then flows wonderfully. If you read more of Abraham's story in Genesis 13, verses 14 to 18, there's a further challenge when he falls out with his nephew Lot, and God divides the land and gives Abraham the land of Canaan. But in verse 16 of that same chapter, he tells Abraham that he will become the father of nations, which is frankly ridiculous because this man is heart sore because he and his wife Sarah cannot, or it doesn't seem as if they can have children. So back in Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul writes this about this stage of Abraham's life. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. An amazing testimony. At the end of his life, someone else writing centuries later, Paul writing about Abraham's life, is able to say he was full of faith and he did not distrust God's ability to make what seemed impossible happen. So that really is what this area of the vision of St. Andrew's is all about. We accept that we make a first step of faith, and then further, we accept too that we need to continue growing stronger in faith, responding to the things that God challenges us to do. But we need to enable one another to grow, to create, as it were, the right growing medium for each other in this community of faith at St. Andrew's, Oxshott. And I believe that that growth is best done in small groups, not on a Sunday when we're all together, if and when we can be again, but in small groups, typically the life groups, where we can have private conversations and be vulnerable with one another. There are times when life is so hard that our faith can be sorely tested. And if that is happening for you at this moment, I long for you to be able to share that with one other person at least, and to feel the comfort of them praying for you through this desert, if you like, of faith. No one ever said it was going to be easy, and we need one another in order to grow in faith. I long too for us at St. Andrew's to have clear, as it were, mothers and fathers of the faith. People who have lived long lives, who have responded to the challenges that God has given them, and who through that obedience and that blind faith, not knowing how things would work out, just like Abraham, they have become really rich in faith and great support to other people. And that actually is not necessarily a function of age, because we're told that Stephen, at the age of only, well, he was martyred when he was in his early 30s. So before that stage, we're told in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, that he was a man full of faith and power. I had two dear friends in their 90s, and sadly both of them have now died. Jean only recently, her funeral was on Monday. And they were my mother and father in the faith. They did not have great riches. They didn't have an enormous house. They didn't have huge investments. They never made a big scene in the world, politically or in business, but they certainly were my mother and father in the faith, and they made a huge impact on all sorts of people's lives. Just to end, faith is walking in obedience and not by sight. And there are times when our challenge to do so is very real. And I just wanted to share a little example of this in the recent life of St. Andrew's. A little while ago, Richard Green and I were trying to appoint a new parish administrator to replace dear Sue in the office. And we advertised in all the right places. Twice we advertised, and twice we got candidates that we interviewed. And the second time around, we appointed one person, but that person, well, we offered the job to one person, but that person had on the same day had another interview at a job nearer to their home, and quite sensibly, they took that job. At the end of two rounds of interviews, I said to Richard, "No, we can't just advertise again. That isn't the right thing to do. We will wait and see what God provides for us." And to cut a long story short, Claire Costard, who many of you know as our dear parish administrator, was what God provided for us. I'm not saying that to puff myself up. It's just a recent example of how God has provided for us the community of faith at St. Andrew's. And certainly it's grown my faith in his ability to provide what we need. So growing in faith, an active thing. Initially, that step of faith is very, very important. But then that's not the end. We need to continue to grow. And I believe we need others to help us grow. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we are a community of faith. We're not called to be faithful in isolation. Help us learn, Lord, to help one another and to foster and grow mothers and fathers of the faith who can influence new members of the faith, so that they have people to aspire to, just as Abraham is the father of faith. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to Merlin for our prayers today. Almighty and everlasting God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow to you in prayer for your world, your church, and your people. We do this knowing that you love us and have promised to hear us when we pray in faith. We remember with awe and wonder the glories of your creation and repent of our misuse of the bounty you provided for us all. We pray that the pleas of conservationists like David Attenborough and Greta Thunberg will be heard and acted on quickly and internationally. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your church worldwide and for its leaders, for our archbishops, bishops, and clergy. Here at St. Andrew's, we ask your blessing on Francis, Patrick, and our ministry team. We specially pray for those who were elected at the annual parochial church meeting on Sunday, for Ruth Burns, the new church warden, Jill Perrett and John Henschel, the assistant wardens, and for Charlene Lamb and Norman Stephen, the new PCC members. We give thanks for the dedicated service of those who stepped down from their posts, all much loved and appreciated at St. Andrew's. We also ask for your guidance in the choice of a new families and children's worker. We pray for our mission partners, and particularly today, for the work of Beatitude in North Leatherhead, serving needy families in that community. Thank you for the vision of Jenny and Ruth, who launched this initiative 15 years ago. Jenny writes that she based the concept on the song, "Make Me, Lord, a Dreamer for Your Kingdom." We pray for them and for Marion and Becky, who help in the shop and the hive. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift to you in prayer our Queen, giving thanks for her long life, Christian example and fortitude. We pray for the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Charles, and all other members of the royal family. We ask your blessing on our country and its leaders, and for guidance in making the right decisions for maximum safety precautions, while also bearing in mind the need to keep our economy afloat. We also pray for other world leaders and for the American people who are facing a most extraordinary month of election fever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray now for all who are suffering particular hardship in these current times, the sick, the bereaved, the lonely, the fearful, the homeless, the jobless. And here we will hold a moment's silence while we think ourselves in our hearts of the people we know who are struggling at this time. We think of those whose elderly parents are suffering from terminal illness or dementia and who have not been allowed to be with them, even in their last moments. Father, we find it hard to understand how this could happen, but we must trust in your overall plan and that your love will prevail. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lastly, we pray for ourselves and our loved ones. Thank you, Father, for all those who have helped us on our Christian journey and inspire us to reach out to others as we all strive to grow in faith, hope, and love. Give us joy in our hearts. Keep us praising. And so we end with the words which Jesus himself taught us, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Jenny, and indeed thank you everyone who is viewing this. Listen and pray, whether in church or at home. Please do let us pray and seek to apply what we have heard this coming week. As we look forward to next week, when our newly ordained curate Patrick will be leading our thoughts in the application of what Francis has been speaking about today. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May he make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. Amen.